Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
I'm Gwen Douglas.
And this is Juice Podcast.
Exactly. Here we are again. We're at Gwen's.
And we are doing...
I'm enjoying the chair. This is quite a chair, isn't it?
It is. It's a throne, I think.
I know. I think that's what I like. It kind of suits me a little bit.
It suits every woman that sits.
I think
so. We are all queens.
In our own right.
Right. Yeah. There are many men that are also queens in that chair.
I think everybody becomes a queen when they sit in this chair.
Not prince, queen.
No, because it's kind of peacocky, isn't it?
Exactly. It is a peacock chair.
It totally is, yeah.
That's what it's called.
Is that what it's actually called? Okay. I mean, I feel like one. So.
I've also got one at the shop because I love this.
It's a slightly smaller version, isn't it?
Or
is
it's exactly, a slightly. Yeah. It doesn't have the big back.
Yeah.
They do come in really exceptionally large framed peacock chairs. There's some really fancy ones.
Oh my god! I mean, I could go double the size even. Yeah. Like you just feel like you could get.
Take up a whole
you just
room.
Have a room exactly
like,
with the chair.
Welcome to my throne room.
I will greet you in that room when you come round. There'll be a carpet. There'll be my throne, and you might be invited in.
That's the dream. Have a throne room.
Anyway, so
we're already off topic.
Yeah, we haven't even introduced the topic today. So we have two ones.
Yeah, we're doing Sweet Wine 2.0 revisited.
Yeah, we had a lot of requests about sweet wine again, so we just thought we'd dig into some different or lesser known or unusual styles of sweet wine.
So also because we sometimes cover topics that are natural, let's say, I chose to bring a wine that's, I guess, would be a natural sweet wine.
Yours is so out wild. There. I think that this, like the wine that you've bought, I don't think there's any other wine like it.
I'm actually a bit afraid to open this bottle, to be honest.
No, nothing's bad's going to happen.
I'm terrified because it's so volatile that when they... So I bought this at Viniculture here. I bought it, I'm going to say, maybe 2 years ago. It's been in the fridge since because they did tell me that because it's so volatile that it needs to have constant cool temperature.
It did make me laugh when you told me it's 2014, it's been in the fridge since, and I was like, it's been in the fridge since 2014. I did think that earlier on. I was like, oh my god, she's
been carrying around in an organ.
Stop rotation is not happening at Gwen's place.
It's because it's not one that, like, I mean, I'm gonna open it tonight because let's be real, it's been 2 years and we haven't found an occasion for it. I bought two bottles. I originally bought this when I did a pop-up dinner. I did the wine for a pop-up dinner with Lucas Mraz and Rebel a couple of years ago, and I had to choose. Everything had to be low sulfur or no sulfur, but both the desserts for the dinner were ice cream, and ice cream is notoriously difficult to pair with. So we went with this one because it was sort of, it's actually pretty good with chocolate and sweet things, caramel. But it's definitely one that you have to drink quickly because it's so volatile.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of build-up. There's a lot of anticipation.
It's going to be like total shit.
This is like a thriller, isn't it?
I know. It's going to be the most ordinary thing when we open it. I've had it before, but I...
This one goes through stages, if I remember. Like,
yes.
I remember it was fizzy at one point.
It's just a strange one.
Look, the first time I tried this, like, mate, that would maybe be 3 years ago, I was like, what the hell is this?
It's quite strange.
It's off the wall.
So it's named after a film, if I remember rightly.
La Cosa.
The Thing. A horror movie.
Yeah, The Thing.
Yeah. And I did take some notes on my giant iPad here.
Oh, they should get an old retro label on there. That'd be quite funny. Do you remember The Blob?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I used to be terrified of The Blob growing up. It was just like basically jelly, wasn't it? Or Jell-O if you're American. Like Jell-O that, like, if you came in contact with it, it just took you over. Did you ever used to play the game called The Blob?
No.
So we had a game called The Blob, which involved my dad under a duvet. And you would hide. It was like hide and seek. You'd hide anywhere you could in the house.
Yeah.
And he's going around, so he can't see because he's got the duvet over him. But if he finds you, he has to cover you fully with the duvet. And then you've
been eaten.
Consumed by the blob, and you're out of the game. So the last person remaining wins.
See, this is how children played before iPads. A dad in a comforter.
This is when parents had to make an effort.
Yes, exactly. Like, just hand them the thing and be like,
my dad just sort of roamed me around for hours, like, well, it never end.
Good exercise.
Hurry up,
too.
Tired. Yeah, it was. It was very fun.
Very good exercise.
Yeah.
So this one is from Castilla y León.
Okay, which is a very large area in Spain, actually central Spain.
Mm-hmm. And the winery, I mean, I think your Spanish is...
Shall I open it? I feel like you're leaving it for me to open.
I am,
worried that it might...
just afraid of it all around.
Okay.
So originally when they first got these at Viniculture, they said they could only ship them in a suction pack, like a, because they were popping their corks out. So there's even a picture on their website of the bottle in a...
That's ridiculous.
Plastic bag, yeah. So that's why I've had it in the fridge for so long. I mean, it's been taking up fridge space. Lucas will be really happy that he can, I don't know, ferment other things in the back of the fridge.
What else is fermenting in the fridge?
Sometimes, I mean, that had a little... Whee!
A little bit, yeah.
A smidge. Yeah. Sometimes there's pumpkin fermenting back there, I don't know. He has some experiments. He's a chef.
Fermented pumpkin?
I don't know. In strips, you put it in salads and... Okay. Some sort of fermentation thing. So it's made with Muscatel de Alexandria.
Yes.
I'm not going to even try to say that in Spanish. And they use wild yeasts, which I think we'll also discuss when we get to yours.
Yeah.
Wild yeasts.
It is definitely, I mean...
Look at that.
Fizz. I mean, it's fizzy and it's very odd because it almost looks like oil when you pour it.
It's really strange. I mean, it smells...
It's almost like it's pretty good, together. Actually.
It's got a lot of sediment. It's also, I think, unfined and unfiltered.
I mean, just to... I mean, it's, you can't alive. Really see, but it does actually look a little bit...
I kind of want to put the cork back in it, or a cork, just for now, because I think...
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to smash this later, but...
I'll just use that now.
It looks alive still.
I mean, it looks like a lava lamp. You can't... It doesn't really show so well.
Wait for that.
But look, can you see
all the sediment? And there's so much sediment. It's like thick,
it's like tarry black bits as well. Okay,
have a sniff of that.
I mean, look at it now. Looks really, it looks like somebody's made special brew at home.
Yeah, like iron brew.
I mean, iron brew would have, like, I don't know.
But have a whiff. It smells amazing.
It's kind of like creeping onto the edges of a glass. Okay.
Wow, it smells really fantastic. It's really perfumed.
What's that very cheap ale that, like, homeless people drink in the UK? It's like 8%.
Oh, I feel like my sister's husband told me about this.
I think it might be special brew. It's got a little bit of sweaty sock about it, hasn't it?
I know, but I think I'm just like...
But...
It's like kumquat and like... Kumquats, the little tiny...
Yeah, no, I know what a kumquat is, yeah. I'm appreciating your tasting note.
I think kumquat and... There's definitely like...
There's a rubbery note to it, right?
But there's also this like...
Rubber tire.
Like, yeah, petroly kind of.
Yeah.
But there's definitely also like apricot, but like heavily stewed apricots.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that.
There's definitely like a stewed stone fruit thing going on. And then that little zingy, citrusy thing.
Yeah, a lot of citrus, almost like orange pith or something.
I think it smells really good. I really like the smell.
So the colour's also different from when...
What?
I was right before. The acidity... Fucking hell. I mean, sorry. So acidic.
It's really acidic. It has a balsamic quality about it. Not yet, but it will do in about an hour.
Okay.
So it's normally...
How many bottles are you drinking of this?
No, I just remember
it. I love that I've timed it. This note comes in 45 minutes. In an hour and a half from now, you'll expect the strawberry to arrive.
But we did actually have to do this for that dinner because The bottles had to be open. It was a big dinner of people. So people had to be served. Things had to be prepped.
Yeah.
But they couldn't be opened before service. There was sort of a, like, timing-wise, because it does change colour a little bit. It is a little volatile. So it will
evolve. What's the varietal as well, Gwen? Sorry.
It was the...
Muscat. Just 100% Muscat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Yeah, because it says, a part of like, I did a Google Translate search from German, so it's going to be like... It has sort of a volatile acidity, which is usually a wine defect, but this is kind of what makes this wine a little bit special. That it's still sort of alive in the bottle.
Yeah, so that volatile acidity presents itself on the nose with this kind of nail polish remover note.
That's... Which actually was expecting more.
I thought it'd be more. I think, yeah, maybe other... I don't think it's gone down, but I think the other aromas have come up because I do remember trying this wine time. I've tried it a few times. Yeah. It's definitely less fizzy. But it's got this apple vinegar note on the palate, so that makes it a little bit more of a challenge for some people because it is out there.
But I think with the right food, this can be a really interesting sweet wine.
I also don't think you need to pair this. I would pair this with a savoury dish. Like imagine like an autumnal pork dish with mushrooms and nuts.
I'm thinking that there's even a like famous dish from Burgundy, I think, that's made with like tons of slices of like orange and citrus that's like baked with chicken.
I was thinking chicken with things like radicchio or chicory, endive, you know, like cooked endive, like where greens. There's this bitter sweetness. Because this has got a lot of that.
Sweet and sour. I mean, even sweet and sour pork.
I think when you're trying ones like this, you have to really remember, like it's a bit like when we went flower shopping and you're like, you can just do what you want. Pick the ones you want to go with it. And it's the same with wine. Like, there doesn't need to be
a
set rule, particularly with this wine. If you like it and you like how it tastes, play around with what it works with.
Try lots of things.
If anything, I would actually be, me, myself, more inclined to pair this with a savoury dish. I think that could be really cool.
You know, it's funny though. I feel like when I tried it a couple of years ago, that it wasn't the same. I definitely think it had
It's continued to ferment a little bit.
Yeah, I actually it's less say fizzy. It's a bit better than it was a couple of years ago.
I remember this being almost abrasive.
Yes, me too. That's why I'm actually quite surprised that it's as nice as it is right now. But I do think this isn't one that you like lounge about drinking because
I don't know if grandma would like it.
No, don't. But well, it depends how sassy your grandma is. But I had to buy this because I had to do something natural and low sulfite.
Yeah,
and it had to be from particular shops. So this was sort of.
But the more it's open, it's starting to get these sort of the aromatics are starting to come out. These floral notes are coming out. It's almost like iris or something.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that I should grab some other glasses and we leave some of this in the glass.
Sounds great.
Try yours and then have another little go in a bit. Great plan. Here we are. We're going to do wine number two.
So wine number two. My bottle. So we'll compare the two next to each other. So we have the 2017 straw wine from Malinu. So I was in South Africa last year. Had my eyes open to South African wine. It was so good. It was such an amazing trip. What an incredible place and what an incredible community of people. It's a very, very special place, mostly due to the people and also the landscape is quite stunning. So here with this wine, we're in the Swartland. So it's an area around an hour outside of Cape Town, but it's a large region, very, very famous, obviously, for Chenin Blanc is the main grape variety, but also wheat production as well. So when I was there, you just saw golden fields everywhere and then these sort of mountains cropping up. Soil's a mix. There's a lot of granitic sand, but some shale and granite, even in some parts. But yeah, super mixed. And mainly I would say this is the main region in South Africa for high quality, like bush vine, Chenin Blanc. Cool. This particular winery is a husband and wife team.
Okay.
Andrea and Chris Malinu. I never know how to say that correctly. I'm sorry, guys. They started up in 2007. I actually tasted their wines for the first time when I was working as a buyer in London. So it would have been 2011, 2012. And listed the dry wines, and it wasn't until maybe 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, that I tried the sweet wine through Hendrik Tomar at Vine Unlimited.